Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. We have been talking about supernatural means of divine guidance. Previously, we've been talking about angels and demons, and especially, though, the whole idea of angels guiding us, whether we are aware of it or not. And recently, we've been talking about signs. And hopefully, if this is interesting to you, you have taken the time to ask the Lord if this is something he wants you to learn about. And if it is, hopefully you've had a chance to ask him for signs. This is something that we have a tendency to not follow up with, that when he says, yes, this is something I'd like you to learn about, or yes, this is something I'd like to teach you about, is we just kind of let it go there and we observe rather than take an active role in our training, in our teaching, in our hearing and learning. So, again, if this is something that you're interested in, ask. Likewise with angels. If the whole concept of angels and communicating with them and interacting and becoming familiar with is concerning to you, I want you to ask the Lord about it. Right where you're at right now, I want you to look around your environment, wherever you're at. If you're driving, if you're sitting listening, if you're walking, running, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, odds are you're not alone. I'm not talking about other people in the natural. I'm talking about in the supernatural realm. That's the realm of angels and demons. Odds are there are both around you right now. Not always, but odds are pretty good, especially if you've been listening to the teachings we've been talking about the last few weeks. Because if there's any interest at all, that interest draws these supernatural beings to us. And then, of course, there's God using them to meet the requirements he has for our lives. We talked before about the purpose that evil has in our life. Without the left hand of God, we would not be able to experience the right hand of God. Without his correction, without his negative experiences in our lives, we would not know how much we need him. If God wanted to, just as he created evil, he could get rid of it. But he doesn't. He leaves it in our lives for a variety of purposes. This is one of our challenges that we often live our whole lives with questions about why bad things happen to us or others, or why there's evil in the world. When, if it really bothers you, God wants to talk to you about it. One of our tests to see whether this is something that God probably wants to or needs to talk to you about is how long something, a big question or anger or guilt or grief lasts if it's out of proportion to what causes it. And, for instance, if you're angry with somebody, if it lasts more than a day, 24 hours, odds are there's something else going on besides just a particular incident that might have happened. Either there's a wound there or a lie that you believe, or there's an attack there. There's interference. So if every time somebody talks about the angelic realm and angels and demons, if every single time fear wells up or even curiosity, if reaction is out of proportion to even the discussion, if you're overly interested or overly uninterested, both of those can be an indicator that God wants to talk to you about it. And really, that's all we're talking about. Are you able, free, willing to take these questions to God? Are you confident that you can hear from him and that you can get those answers? You have no idea what God wants to talk to you about. Very often, what's going on in an area is only to get our attention. It's not what he really wants to talk to us about. And that brings us back to signs. Is that what we have found out is that most of the time, the signs, their basic function and purpose is to get our attention. Now, if we are always giving God our attention, he's going to need signs a lot less. Now, sometimes he uses signs just because he wants to use signs. And it's not because that's the only way he can get our attention. So regardless, we want to be able to let God be free to use whatever means of communication he wants with us, whether it's angels, demons, signs, miracles, whatever he chooses. We want to let God be the deciding factor and accept whatever he puts in our lives because we know how to respond. And we can respond by going to him. And that's it. Again, developing that confidence that we're hearing him, that we know how to test what we hear, and then we know how to respond. We know how to act. This is all based on that confidence that we know he loves us. And that knowing comes from experience, not just believing, not just having read it or somebody told you, but experiencing God's love for you. That's going to be different for each one of us as well. And we just have to allow him to make himself real to us in whatever way he chooses. So coming back to signs, we've talked a little bit about the purpose of signs: provide information, to provide direction and guidance, to provide confirmation and encouragement, to provide warning. But again, what it basically comes down to is to simply get our attention. Whether we are preoccupied with other things, even ministry and serving God, or maybe because we don't know any better, we may not recognize God's attempts at trying to get our attention. God may use a dramatic sign, much like a slap or a loud siren to break our attention from one thing to bring it to himself. So if this is something you're interested in, ask God about it. And even if you're not interested, ask God if this is something he wants to talk to you about. And he wants to teach you how to recognize signs, how to respond to them, just to see if this is something that's on your training schedule. So another aspect of signs are, when I say sign, what do you think about? There's going to be a wide range. Some of us are going to go back to biblical signs. Some of us are going to think about things in our own life. And generally, we can talk about two broad categories of signs: a spectacular sign or a subtle sign. Now, there's really, as far as God's concerned, there's no distinction, because God wants to use whatever he chooses and will use whatever he chooses to get our attention. They're both equally easy for him. It doesn't take more energy for him to do a spectacular sign than a subtle sign. But for our sake, what we want to remember is that God doesn't necessarily use a sign in proportion to the magnitude of the purpose of the sign. In other words, a big dramatic sign is just as likely to confirm a decision or to encourage you to write a letter as to change jobs. Likewise, a subtle sign may be all the Lord provides to direct our feet into a new venture. So we don't want to look for proportionality. If we're asking God, okay, this is a big, huge thing I'm stepping out in, can you give me a sign to confirm that this is the right direction? It may be a real small thing, if any. So some of the things we need to learn are interpreting signs and testing signs. Interpreting signs. Once a sign has gotten our attention, where do we go from there? Again, there are no clear correlations between the type of sign, the content of a sign, or the circumstance of a sign that will allow us to determine the meaning of the sign on our own. We're always going to go back, Lord, what does this mean? First, Lord, is this a sign? Is it from you? What does it mean? Always go back to God. This is exactly the way God wants us to learn about signs. He doesn't want us to memorize, okay, for Moses, the burning bush, this is what it meant, and so when we see a burning bush, this is what it means for us. No. Every experience we have is unique and new, and we take it to God. Now, there are teachings out there, books and conferences, that can provide insight and experience, and they really can be very interesting and helpful. But the only one who can instruct and interpret a sign is the one who gives it. There will likely be pressure to look for hidden and complex meanings. It is likely that at some point in time, you will be presented with the challenge of taking God's interpretation over the interpretation of others, or even your own sensible conclusions. This brings us back to our need to have that confidence that we're hearing him clearly, that we're testing it accurately, and we're drawing the right conclusions. One of the points of the signs that God may be using in your life is that regardless of what everybody else says, God may be giving you a sign to do something that is totally contrary to what everybody else is saying. And this is not going to be that the decision to pursue a unique walk, a unique choice, is not going to be based on the sign. Remember, the sign is only there to get your attention. But the strength that you will need to pursue a direction against what everybody else says, everybody else's wise counsel, it's not the strength of the sign. It's the strength of the hearing. Taking that sign to God. God, you've got my attention. What do you want to say about this? And then he tells you, this is the way I want you to go. And we test it, and then we go. So our confidence going forward will not be in, well, I believe this is the right way to go because of the sign. No. I believe this is the way I should go because I heard the Lord tell me that this is the way I should go. I tested it, and now I'm walking. And I have confidence that the Lord is free to change my direction at any given opportunity he wants. So we're not building our foundation on our own belief, our own faith, our confidence in signs, but on how much God loves us, that he knows what's best for us. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow, and he will have you ready for it. So you don't need to worry about it. He will have you prepared and ready. So your job is just to be paying attention to the training. So we talked about testing signs. In and of themselves, signs do not have meaning. Signs can even become hindrances, as we can become distracted by trying to learn how to interpret and apply the signs according to what others are teaching. In other words, if you receive a sign and you don't know, okay, Lord, I need to ask you about what this sign means, and waiting until he tells you. Now, he may tell you the meaning through other resources, through what other people have experienced, through books, through conversations. But the point is, are you waiting for the interpretation from him? But if you're not, if you're looking, okay, I have to figure this out, if you're taking that burden on, that's then become a distraction from listening and waiting to hear from him regarding the interpretation, the meaning. He's the one who knows, who gave you the sign. If he's the one who gave you the sign, he is going to have the interpretation. And you'll know. It's just part of the testing and the learning is to be able to recognize his voice. So we don't want to be so distracted by trying to figure out what that sign is. And we also don't want to make an assumption about, okay, this is what in the scriptures, this is what this sign means, so this is what it must mean for me. Again, don't make that assumption. Only God knows the meaning. Fortunately, God wants to tell you the meaning. And the sign may be of none effect because all he really wanted was to get your attention. Learning from others' experience is helpful, as long as that training is at the Lord's direction. God is jealous over our training. And we are not to go about seeking instruction from other sources without his direction. Again, where we just expend our energy and get distracted. As in all communication, we take whatever signs we run across to the Lord for his interpretation. Now, over time, as our dependence on him grows, our confidence comes from our relationship with him. Based on seeing all these things as training, him training us, rather than a source of guidance. We don't see, okay, this is how God is guiding us. Through signs, through angels, through dreams. Instead, we see all these things happening as spokes of the wheel, part of our training. It's all part of an ongoing day-to-day experience of circumstances and specifics, each day leading to the next, bringing us into greater and greater relationship and dependence on God. So, whether we receive a sign or not, we know we have heard from him. Because we've heard from him. We know what he sounds like. We've developed that habit of listening and waiting and being with him. What we find out when it comes to signs, when it comes to these other means of divine guidance, it is in fact better to believe we've heard from him without a sign than because of it. It is better to believe in divine guidance, to receive direction without a sign, than because of it. Because that's the end result, is are we depending on him? Are we hearing from him? Now this brings us to one of the, what seems to be a really common overall approach to hearing from God. And we just put this under the broad category of fleecing. Now, we all do this at some point in time, but what we want to do, for many of us, we need to unlearn this. And it may be hard, but we want to look at fleecing objectively. And, of course, fleecing is scriptural, but that doesn't mean it's for us. Fleecing is a fairly common form of divine guidance through asking God to confirm his instruction by complying with a specific test. Okay, that sounds pretty technical. What it really is, Lord, if you want me to do this and so, the phone will ring in 10 minutes and it will be so-and-so saying such and such. Who hasn't done that? You know, well, Lord, because this thing came in the mail, that must mean that I should do this. This is a confirmation that I should move. It's a confirmation I should take the new job. Whatever. We read into it. Now, of course, the term fleecing is from the example of Gideon in Judges 6. in which Gideon asks the Lord to prove that it's him speaking and asks him to perform a miracle twice. First, overnight, he wanted the dew to fall on a fleece, which is a sheepskin, but not the ground. So the ground would be dry, but the fleece wet. And God complied. Then he asked for the reverse the following night. Complied. But let's look at this a little closer. And before we embrace fleecing as a desirable method of divine guidance and something we can embrace and follow, we need to review a few elements of this example of fleecing, of requesting God's divine guidance. And I want to be very particular and really think about situations in your life where you've done this kind of thing, thinking, okay, this is scriptural because this is fleecing. First, very importantly, to recognize that Gideon, in this example, already knew what God wanted him to do. These tests that Gideon laid out before God were not about needing direction or guidance or discernment, but about Gideon needing encouragement. Now, because God complied, we can conclude that God knew that Gideon needed encouragement and wanted to encourage him. Gideon had already had a couple of angelic visitations and had already done some pretty cool exploits. So Gideon knew it was God that was speaking and that God would honor his word. So first, fleecing is not about getting direction. It's after you have the direction, after you've heard from God. Second, in the example of fleecing, the encouragement from God came in the form of a bona fide miracle, something that could not have happened coincidentally or without the direct supernatural intervention of God. Gideon's test for God to receive encouragement, to confirm that this was what God wanted him to do, could not have happened on their own. It wasn't a phone call at the right time. It wasn't a letter coming at the right time in the mail. It wasn't somebody, the right person walking by you in the hall saying the right thing, or the exact opposite, you not being offered the job or the house selling before you meant it to. Those are all, can all be coincidences. They can have meaning, but that's not fleecing. Fleecing is a bona fide supernatural God intervention in the natural realm. Third, and we'll talk about this more next week, Gideon was not presumptuous in telling God that he needed encouragement, but in how to encourage him. It is a testament to God's love for Gideon that God complied with those tests. It's not a credential, a testimony of Gideon's wisdom in asking for them. In other words, this is not a good example of how to get encouragement from God. God doesn't like to be told what to do. And in Kidian's case, he was just gracious and merciful in meeting Gideon where he was. So we'll pick it up here next week. Until then, you can drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Visit the website there. And in the meantime, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.